In this fifth chapter of 2 Kings, part of which we have just been reading together, we have the narrative that tells us concerning a certain man by the name of Naaman. We're told in the narrative before us here that this man Naaman was captain of the army of Syria. In the eyes of many, he would have been looked upon as one of the great and one of the good. And no doubt in his own heart he probably felt just like that, that he was indeed one of the great ones in the land, in the nation, because there were so many who would be singing his praises. After all, he was the commander-in-chief of the army. He had been leading the army forth into battle. The army was victorious. They had the spoils of battle to prove that. And therefore, to so many in the nation, he would be looked up to. I'm sure he reveled in all of the attention that he would receive. And yet, despite all of the fair and the great and the good words that were spoken in praise of this man, I'm certain that when he made a certain discovery concerning himself, that all of the words that heaped praise upon him sounded somewhat hollow. For while he is a great man, we're told in verse 1, and a man who was honourable as far as his master, the king of Syria, was concerned, yet it is recorded of him that he was afflicted in his body with what someone has rightly described as a living death. This man had in his body the disease of leprosy. And when he came to a realization of this, I'm certain that all of his great achievements were as nothing. All of the acclaim that had been made concerning him meant really nothing to him now. And yet, this seeming tragedy in his life, as far as he was concerned and as far as he saw things now, having realized that he had this disease, this seeming tragedy in his life was going to be used by the Lord to bring this man Naaman to saving faith in himself. Unknown to Naaman, the Lord was at work in his life. The hymn writer says that God works in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And he does. And the Lord was at work in what we might consider a mysterious way in the life of this man, Naaman. You'll notice, for example, in the verse 1 it's recorded, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because," and here's the reason, "because by him," that is by Naaman, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. You say, how could that possibly be? Can we really believe that? Well, yes, we can, because the scriptures of truth reveal it to us. We cannot explain it. But nevertheless, the Lord was here at work, unknown to Naaman, even when he was basking in all of the victories on the field of battle. Unknown to him, at that point in time, the Lord was at work in his own sovereign, mysterious way. Then as we follow down the verses, we see again the Lord at work, not only in his own sovereign, mysterious way, but we could rightly say in his own wonderful, providential way. Because our God is the God of providence. And in the providence of God, we're told in the verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies or gone out by groups of soldiers, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, a little girl, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So the Syrians had gone forth in their raids on the northern kingdom of Israel, and they had taken into captivity this little girl. This little girl had been taken away from her parents. This little girl had been taken away from her family. A strange providence. Or so it might appear, if that is all that we were to read there. We might just pause for a moment and try to imagine. Try to imagine. I think that's all perhaps that we could do. We just could begin to imagine the feelings that would be in the hearts of the parents and of the family as those rough soldiers would come and take their little daughter away from them. It all seemed a very dark and a very foreboding providence. And yet, the Lord was going to use this little girl in a very wonderful way. The Lord was going to use this little girl to be a witness for him and a witness to him concerning his saving, delivering power, even in the life of this man, Naaman, who was the captain of the Syrian army. All of this is happening. All of this is taking place in the providence of God, so that God will show mercy to this man, Naaman. This man who has this disease of leprosy, this living death. And yet it was to be this living death that he had, this disease of leprosy, that was to bring him to seek help beyond his pagan gods and cry out and call upon the God of Israel, the one true and living God, Jehovah himself. It was this seeming tragedy of this disease that he had, this disease of leprosy, that would make him even listen to the message that the little Hebrew captive would speak forth concerning Jehovah God. And when she did say in verse 3, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Naaman was told of this, and the record in the verses that follow tell us how that he sets forth to go, that he might have his leprosy healed. Perhaps you are familiar with the story, how that when he goes, he expected Elisha, the man of God in Israel, to come out and put his hand over the spot where the leprosy was and call upon the Lord, and there and then he would be healed. But Elisha, the man of God, didn't do that. It's recorded that he sent his servant, he sent a messenger to tell him, that is Naaman, that he was to go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and his flesh would come again, just as the flesh of a little child. He was to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he would be clean. How angry Naaman was when he heard that. Then there were those friends of his that prevailed upon him, and he went in obedience to what Elisha, the true servant of God, said, and he washed, and he was clean. In all of the activity that's going on here, what is the Lord doing? God is setting before us, in all of the physical activity connected with Naaman's healing, he's setting before us a simple illustration of the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ for all who will be healed of the leprosy of their sin. And so for just a few moments, I want you to come and consider what takes place here in the life of this man, Naaman. And the first thing I want you to understand is simply this, that we see here one who has been convinced of his need of divine deliverance. He's convinced of his need of divine deliverance. Yes, he had leprosy, a frightening disease that was eating away his flesh. His flesh was decaying. The flesh in his body was putrefying. We sometimes say, well, that's what will happen to the flesh when the body is laid in the grave. And that is so. But this man is not in the grave as yet. And yet he has this living death in his body, and he's helpless and powerless. to do anything about it. This man who could defeat armies with his soldiers, and he's unable to rid his body of this terrible plague, despite all of the privileges that he had, and he had many of them. I am certain that he had access to the best physicians, the king's physicians in the land, but obviously they couldn't do him any good. They just could not prescribe any cure for leprosy. He would have had much by way of wealth. He would have taken all of the spoils of war, but all of the wealth that he had was to no avail. Oh, he had honour amongst the people, as we have been indicating in the introduction. The people knew him, they recognised him, who he was. But it's all small comfort now in the light of what is undeniable evidence that he does have leprosy. I wonder, at the beginning, did he, at least to himself, try to deny it? And say, well, really, no, it couldn't be leprosy. No, I wouldn't have leprosy. But maybe you likewise have sought to deny the leprosy of your sin. You have said, well, now others might be sinners, and they might be terrible sinners and all of that, but I don't think I could be a sinner. You might be denying that to yourself, as perhaps at the very beginning this man Naaman was. But then as time went on, perhaps it got to the point where he could see there was no longer any use in him denying to himself that, well, I don't have it. I've just imagined it. He could see that, yes, I do have. I am a leper. And maybe you have come to that point. Maybe you've got beyond just the point of denying to yourself that you're a sinner. You have got some evidence that even you would admit places you in that category of a sinner in God's sight. But as yet you haven't done anything about it. In fact, you've been doing your best to try and cover it up. And I wonder, did this commander of the army do all he could for a while to try and cover it up, so that no one would even suspect that he had this disease? But then you see, it got to the point where he could even see that was useless. He couldn't cover it over or cover it up any longer. It had progressed to such a degree that it would be a vain attempt to try and cover it up or cover it over. Maybe he talked much about it to some confidant, who knows? But no matter how much he talked, it didn't cure him of his leprosy. Perhaps he was thinking a lot about it. I'm certain he was. But he couldn't think his leprosy away either. And you can't talk away your sin. You cannot think away your sin. Oh, that you would be brought to the place where Naaman was brought to, where he became convinced that only divine deliverance could rid him of this disease of leprosy. And he is brought to the place where he's convinced of that. So much so that he's prepared to listen to the message that the little maid spoke concerning the God of Israel. Convinced to the degree that he's eventually prepared to make the journey. And take with him, yes, much by way of material wealth. Convinced to that degree, at least. You see, he's facing up to the reality of his situation. And for a period of time, he just didn't face the reality of his situation. And I'm putting it to you tonight Have you come to the point where you're really facing up to the reality of your condition? Yes, you're a very good person in so many ways, upright and moral and all of that. But your real condition is that of a sinner, unclean, in the sight of a holy God. And you have sin in your heart and sin in your life that you cannot get rid of. Just as Naaman had this leprosy that in and of himself he couldn't deal with. And the very word leprosy had become to Naaman more than just a word. More than just a word. And I'm asking you tonight, has the word, the little word sin, become more to you than just that little three-letter word that you could so easily let fall from your lips? Because you have become convinced that before God you are a sinner. And are you convinced that as a sinner, the only one who can deal with your sin is the Lord Jesus himself? Well, this is the man we're looking at. A man who has become convinced of his need of divine deliverance. But then I want you to think for a moment with me concerning the cleansing that took place in this man's life. You see, the Lord got a message to him. It was a message that had hope. Because up until he heard this message, the message that was brought by the little girl that had been taken captive and who was waiting on his wife, up until this point in time, any message that he heard was a message of doom and gloom. But now he has heard, in the merciful providence of God, he has heard a message with a ray of hope. Real hope. And the Lord had found a way through this little girl taken captive. The Lord had found this way to get a message to his ear. And he's been convinced of his need and he's prepared to listen. Now, we shall see in a moment, I trust, that he has to be taught some more things. But nevertheless, the message has come. And it came this way through this little girl. And I'm going to suggest to you that the Lord has brought you here this evening in order for you to hear the message of hope. Now, the message of hope is the gospel. That's the message of hope. The message of hope is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this message that Naaman heard was coming from a little girl whose life, just a little girl, but a little girl who knew the Lord. A little girl who was saved. A little girl who had been brought up in the fear of God. And whose life, as she lived it out in the presence of Naaman's wife, bore testimony that she wasn't any kind of a false professor or a hypocrite. She was a real, genuine little believer in Jesus Christ. And her life spoke that out. And she brings this message that this man Naaman needs to hear. Oh, you say, well, why did he have to get the message this way? Well, it was the best way. And it was the wisest way because it was God's way. It was God's way. And this is a message that tells him that there's need of cleansing. And the gospel message is the message with that ray of hope that tells you there's need of cleansing from all your sin. Now, as this man had been convinced of his need of divine deliverance, and we have sought to establish that, and we're looking now at the cleansing that he needs to rid him of his leprosy, yet still as he goes forth and makes the journey, it's clear that he has some preconceived notion still. Oh, that's clear from the verse 11 of 2 Kings 5 when Elisha sends a messenger saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he had some preconceived ideas as to how the Lord should deal with his leprosy." And that's expressed here by what's recorded in those words in verse 11. "Behold, I thought it would be this way." And because it wasn't that way that he had perceived in his mind, then he was annoyed, he was angry, he was upset. But you see, Naaman is going to have to learn that if he will be cleansed from his leprosy, it will be God's way, and only God's way. And likewise, you must learn as a poor sinner that if you'll be cleansed from your sin, it will be God's way or not at all. You will be cleansed from your sin God's way, or you will still have your sin. And Naaman had to learn that lesson. Oh yes, he had brought much by way of material goods, plenty of wealth, but he was taught that the Lord would not be bribed. Nor would the Lord be bought. And when he gets that directive from Elisha, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, he's saying, "Well, look, you know, in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus?" Well, that's where he came from, in Syria. Remember, he was the captain of the Syrian army. And he's saying, "Well, I thought that my own rivers were as good as any river in Israel. In fact, I thought they were even better. I thought they were even better. Are they not better than all the waters of Israel?" Oh, he has still much to learn here. He's going to learn that it will not be the prophet himself, but the Lord through the prophet, that will heal him of his leprosy, that will save him, that will deliver him. And he has to learn also that self must be dethroned, because you see, self was still reigning on the throne of his heart. How do we know that? Well, those of his servants who came in the verse 13 and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing." And by that is meant something that would appear to be difficult and hard to do, hard to carry out. Would you not have been attempting to do it, so that you would have been able to say, "I managed it. Hard and difficult though it was, I succeeded. I can claim the victory for myself." But he's not going to be cleansed of his leprosy that way. And neither are you going to be cleansed from your sin with self still upon the throne of your heart. Self must be dethroned. There must be a humbling before God. The pride that's in our hearts by nature cannot reign and rule. If we're going to be cleansed from our sin, we must come before the Lord humbly. Humbly. And here is this man, Naaman, receiving an education, if you like, in these great truths. You see, he thought he could do something or bring something. But then the hymn writer penned it so well. Nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And so when he heard those words, we find that he went down in verse 14 and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. The word dipped is a very instructive word, because it's a word that means that he plunged. He dipped himself. He plunged himself. What is that suggesting? That there was going to be a full cleansing. A full cleansing, a complete washing. And that's what there is in the blood of Christ, sinner. There's a full cleansing. There's a complete washing from your sin. And until he had been brought to the point, convinced of his need of divine deliverance, convinced of your need, that you need to be saved and only the Lord can save you, then if you come to the place where Naaman came to, humbly before the Lord, in obedience to his word, then you will know the cleansing that only the blood can give. You see, this cleansing was something that he really experienced. It was something he really experienced. He was unclean before with this leprosy. But now when he comes and dips 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This was something that was so personal. Something that was so personal. Naaman was the one who had the leprosy. Naaman was the one who needed cleansed from his leprosy. And he has this personal experience, this individual experience of being cleansed and cleansed by the Lord. It was special. It was special. Do you know, it was so special that it was unique. It was unique. And the cleansing from sin by the blood of Christ is something that's so special, it's unique. And yet, it's so simple. Wash and be clean. So simple. But add to that, it's saving. For those who are cleansed from their sin by the blood of Christ are saved. Saved. And they know and experience God's salvation. Just as Naaman did. And I want you to notice in the third and final place his confession. Because after this had taken place, after he had been to the Jordan and washed and was clean, in the verses that follow here in 2 Kings 5, he does make a confession. We're told in verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now I know. I've experienced it such. He's making a public confession of the Lord, the God of Israel. How significant that was. It was a declaration that he had repudiated all other gods. All of the heathen gods that he had worshipped. Here is evidence. Here is evidence of his spiritual healing. And an inevitable attendant of spiritual healing in the soul is a confession of Christ as Lord and Savior. Here is a man whose heart is now filled with gratitude And he wants to give some token to Elisha, but Elisha, the man of God, would take none, would receive none for what had been done. The Lord had wrought. The Lord had delivered Naaman. The Lord had made him clean. And so he comes, that is Naaman, to offer himself to the Lord. And you see, that's the response of a saved soul. That's the response of a saved soul. To offer himself to the Lord. As in being determined only to serve Jehovah. And here is Naaman in these verses 16 and 17 and 18. Making it clear that he is determined to serve only the Lord God of Israel. Now it was, I suppose, relatively safe confessing the Lord in Israel. But it was going to be much more difficult in Syria. And so we find that he's making the request to take some earth back with him. He makes that request there in verse 17. And there he wants to build some altars. That it might be clear that he is a worshipper of the true God, Jehovah. And his altar would be different to all of the other pagan altars in the nation of Syria. And he wanted it to be known that that was so. Why? Because the Lord had now got supreme allegiance in his heart. The Lord had the supreme allegiance of his heart. Does the Lord have the supreme allegiance of your heart? Or is it some idol? Or some ambition of self? Oh, that you would come to the Lord for cleansing. And then be in that position to make that confession of him as your Lord and Savior. And Redeemer, just as Naaman was, there is cleansing. Cleansing for you. Cleansing for you tonight. Cleansing for you now in the blood of Christ. Come to him and trust him and be saved. Let's bow in prayer.